The Montreal Canadiens surprised a lot of people with the first pick in the 2022 NHL draft. We've got that. Plus, the Predators re-sign Philip Forsberg and the Blackhawks make a controversial trade. All that and more coming up on this episode of the Locked On NHL podcast.
You're Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Monday edition of the Locked On NHL podcast. Gil Martin, so happy to be with you. Hope everybody had a great weekend and that you're all recovering from the excitement of the NHL draft. Thanks for making Locked On NHL your first listen every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. It's my pleasure to welcome back to the show the co-host of Locked On Canadiens, Laura Saba. And Laura, a very busy weekend for the Canadiens. Were you as surprised as some of the other members of the media that Shane Wright was not the first overall pick? I know there was increasing speculation as we got closer to the draft.
I was, in fact, quite surprised because from the way that the Canadians were talking, it seemed very much like they were going to draft Shane Wright. I mean, very simple. On Monday's press conference prior to the draft, Kent Hughes and Vinny LeCavalier were speaking to the media, and LeCavalier was talking about how he had a lengthy conversation with Shane Wright. They didn't mention Cooley or Slavkovsky, even though they kept talking about how they were debating and contemplating between three players, right? They said that it was those three players that they had their eye on. And we thought it was going to be Shane Wright just based on that alone. You know, they spent a lot of time with him. They spent more time with him than they didn't even have a dinner with Slavkovsky. They didn't even have a dinner invite, right? But I think the telling thing actually was a throwaway question in the next day when Kent Hughes' son, Jack Hughes, was drafted by the Los Angeles Kings. Obviously, the Montreal media had some interest to talk to him. And what they did was they asked him, you know, did you have any indication what your dad was going to do with that first overall pick? And he said, you know, no, he's not going to share with his family what his plans are. But based on the way he was talking about the player, I had a feeling that he liked Slavkovsky the best. And I think that at the end of the day, they knew they needed to shore up their center depth. And they were kind of not resigned, but the reason that they were so focused on Shane Wright was because they want another center behind Nick Suzuki, and he was the most complete one in the draft. And I would argue that he's still the most complete player, even with Slavkovsky, because Slavkovsky has some parts of his game that are underdeveloped at this point, right? So I think they really wanted a center, and then they decided that they could get the player they liked best and a center when Chicago and the Islanders agreed to play ball and the Canadiens got Kirby Dach. Once they knew that they would have Kirby Dach, it made sense for them to then go and pick the winger that they wanted all along. And, you know, NHL GMs are really good at putting up smoke screens and all of that. And so for me, I was surprised, but in retrospect, it makes sense that this new management team is a bold team. They really value upside as opposed to completeness because they have decided that they're going to put in development. So I think the big question mark for me now is that the Canadians have kind of set a challenge for themselves for both of the players they drafted in the first round, not just Juraj Slafkovský, but his friend and teammate, Philip Mayshar, that these two players they have a lot of potential and they need to develop the underdeveloped parts in their game. So if they've been saying the word development since Jeff Gorton got hired, and that's been a buzzword, I think now is the time for them to put their money where their mouth is. And we're going to see if the Canadians are going to be able to develop players like they said they would. And I think that's why they were able to swing for the fences, not just on those two picks, but later when they picked up Lane Hutson as well.
What is it about Slavkovsky's game that you think attracted the Canadians to him to ultimately make him that first overall pick?
I think they liked his creativity And the way that he uses his skill, you can talk a lot about, you know, he was a boy playing against men in big game tournaments, and he did everything in his draft year. And to his credit, he did. He literally did everything in his draft year to really raise his stock. At the beginning of the year, he wasn't even top three. We were talking top six, top seven for him until the Olympics, right? So he really did a lot. And I think what they liked a lot about him is his personality, his creativity, the interesting ways that he approaches the game. He looks like he has an extreme amount of skill. And I think that that's what attracted them. And also, I do think there is an aspect of them being able to kind of develop him in the mold that they will. Now, depending on who you talk to, I talked to somebody this weekend that said, you guys got the next Jaromir Jagr. Now, I think that's a lot of pressure to put on a young kid, and hopefully nobody's telling him that to his face, but he's exciting. I think the Canadians know that they've got somebody that's exactly like Shane Wright in Nick Suzuki, right? Like a creative player who kind of slows down the game to kind of, when I say creative, I mean sort of a playmaker, right? He slows down the game to his own speed and he controls the game, right? You've got that. Sometimes you need somebody who's going to take the game out of control and out of the opponent's control. I think it was a bold move. It was a smart move. I do have some question marks because of the short sample size that we're talking. But according to all of their projections, they feel like he's going to be the best in the NHL, the best star, you know, 5-10 years from now. And a lot of people do think so as well. Personally, for me, I thought they would take Shane Wright because they needed a center, and because of the way that they were talking, they seemed to have spent the most time with and on Shane Wright. That was really what had me very, very convinced that they were going to pick Shane Wright. But you know what? It's possible that they weren't convinced that they wanted Shane Wright. They really wanted Slavkovsky, and they ended up getting what they wanted.
And then as far as Meshar is concerned, what does he bring to the table?
He also has some extremely underdeveloped. So Meshar is who I would call an extremely high reward player if everything pans out, right? He's got a couple of flaws to his game, and he has to work a little bit on his physicality. It's not just his size. Everybody likes to use the word size. That's not the only thing at stake here. I think he's got an immense amount of talent. He's going to be, if everything pans out, he also has that creativity, that skill, right? He needs to learn, I think, a little bit to protect the puck more. There's some underdeveloped parts of his game, but if everything goes right for him, you know, the sky's the limit. Like, you're looking at a potential top six if things go right. Like, the upside is extremely high. Unfortunately, with a player like him, the floor is also a little bit lower than somebody like Owen Beck, who they took at 33rd, for example. But I'm still quite excited to see what development they put in these young players. I know Meshar is going to come over to North America. It hasn't yet been decided where, but he can do that. And I'm excited to see how his game is adapted and what the Canadians do with all the resources at their disposal. I'm excited to see what they do with Meshar in particular. He's a bit of a project, but the upside was so high that he was projected to go in the first round, and then he did.
And so worth the risk for the Montreal Canadiens. What else do you expect the Habs to do as free agency is just around the corner? What are they looking to accomplish the rest of this offseason?
I think for the Canadiens right now, there's a little bit of a question mark in goal. Obviously, we don't know how Carey Price's knee is going to heal, whether he's going to be able to play it, and if he can play to the standards that he can play and to the frequency that he used to play, right? So I think the big question mark right now is goaltending. We know the Canadians are getting a lot of calls on Jake Allen. I don't think that they want to part with him unless the return is one of those where you can't say no to. They're also going to try to get some contracts off the books. I know Mike Hoffman, for example, he hasn't been in conversation a lot, but he's probably one of the first contracts that they want to move. They are looking to honor Jeff Petrie's trade request if they can get a good return. And they've said all along that they will only honor it if it makes sense for the Montreal Canadiens. And you know, Jeff important. I mean, we're going to talk about that as time goes on. The more I cover this GM, the more I realize that he doesn't want just value. He wants an overpay from everybody that he's trading, right? So I think that's definitely something that we're going to look out for. You know, Josh Anderson, people are calling on Josh Anderson. Maybe they're willing to afford value. They're willing to part with value for him. And to Kent Hughes, that's not enough, because I think Josh Anderson, while somebody I personally as a fan enjoy watching, objectively speaking, isn't necessary to be on this team. He doesn't have to be an untouchable on this team, right? So there's a couple of guys like that where I think the Canadians are expecting to still have a fairly high draft pick next season. I think they're not expecting to be good. You know, if the Canadians are able to win games enough to get 20 more points than they did last year, they're still going to be one of the bottom teams in the league. So I'm not too worried about their draft. You know, I think they're looking not just for improvement. I don't think that that's what they're looking for. I think they're looking for building a base. So anybody that they bring in is either going to be a mentor style, a defenseman to replace Jeff Petrie, because we're expecting Jeff Petrie to be gone. Mentor style, Jeff Petrie to be gone, or somebody like Kirby Dach if they become available, somebody who can be part of the future, somebody who needs maybe a change of scenery, but is still fairly young that can be molded into the type of team this one is trying to be.
Makes sense. Laura, why don't you tell our viewers and our listeners where they could find the podcast and where they could find you on social media?
Our podcast is Locked On Canadians. My co-host is Scott Matlow. He can also be found at Scott Matlow. I am at The Active Stick on Twitter. And our podcast can be found both on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts, including this one.
All right. Laura, thank you so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me as always, Gil.
Today's episode is brought to you by your friends at BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including Major League Baseball. And look, you could bet on future NBA, NFL, NHL, things for the coming season. Plenty going on right now at BetOnline. And BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and more. And BetOnline.net remains the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check on all your favorite sports and events, including MMA, boxing, tennis, golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Monday edition of the Locked On NHL podcast. Gil Martin, glad to be with you today, and thank you for making Locked On NHL your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. It's my pleasure to welcome back to the show the host of Locked On Blackhawks, Jack Bushman. And Jack, boy, was your team active over the weekend. And, you know, you started off with no picks, ended up with three. But the big trade that created that, the Alex DeBrincat no longer with the team. Talk to me about that trade and how your thoughts about it have evolved from when the first news broke.
Yeah, first glance, I mean, it was a little frustrating to see that minimal of a return. And I think every Blackhawks fan kind of felt the same way, especially after some of the rumors leading up to the actual deal. We were hearing the Blackhawks turned down two first-round picks and a mid-level prospect. Like, there were high expectations going into this trade that if the Blackhawks did trade Alex DeBrincat, it was going to be for a pretty big haul. And another reoccurring theme that was talked about a lot by the Blackhawks media leading up to the first day of the NHL draft was how they didn't have to trade Alex DeBrincat. They didn't absolutely need to, right? We know Kyle Davidson wanted to get back in the first round, and Alex DeBrincat was really their best chance of doing so. But I think we felt confident that Kyle Davidson was going to get such a big return because we felt comfortable thinking that he knew they didn't have to trade him. And ultimately, even Elliot Friedman himself said it when the trade happened. Like, it just felt like ultimately Kyle Davidson, the front office, were like, all right, we got to get this deal done here. It felt like they kind of, I don't know, just rushed it a little bit. So I was a little frustrated with that return, and it was certainly a tough start to the day. But then after the other couple of moves that Davidson was able to make, I think it was a little bit easier to swallow. I really liked both the Kirby Dach trade and the trade to take on Peter Mrazek's contract and get back into the first round for a third time. So that, I think, has made it a little bit easier to swallow the pill of this DeBrincat trade, but no way, shape, or form. I was definitely disappointed, and as was the entire fan base, basically, for the return of a two-time 40-goal scorer who's really established his all-around game. He probably coming off the best year of his career. He's also been killing penalties recently, been an asset on the penalty kill. So to only get one first round pick and not even another one in next year's loaded NHL draft and not adding to the prospect pool, like, I think there's no way around it. It was a minimal return for Alex DeBrincat, and I was still a little disappointed for sure.
And he's so young too.
Right. I understand that the contract, I think, kind of hurt the Blackhawks a little bit, especially because DeBrincat hasn't signed an extension with Ottawa. And if he does get that qualifying offer of $9 million, that could only be a one-year deal away from being a UFA. So maybe that hurt the Blackhawks a little bit. But still, I think it's underwhelming, no way around it. And it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough sledding on Kevin Korchinski, who I'm really high on, but he's always going to be tied to that Alex DeBrincat trade. And it's going to be tough for sure.
Now, what did you like about the other two deals?
For the Kirby Dach deal, we heard on draft day was really the first kind of talk that discussions on him were picking up. And all of a sudden it was like, oh, I guess Kirby Dach's available. I know he was a pending restricted free agent, but it really felt likely. And there weren't even conversations around his name for a majority of the offseason. But then when those rumors first came out, Scott Powers of The Athletic for the Blackhawks, who does a phenomenal job, he reported that the Blackhawks were hoping to get a top 15 pick in return for Kirby. And the fan base and everyone was kind of like, all right, is someone actually going to give that up, though, for Kirby? Like, I think it's good for the Blackhawks to be asking for a return that high, but I wasn't really expecting anyone to make that move. And to get the 13th overall selection and another third round pick, like, I think that was a deal that the Blackhawks really had to do. And this comes from someone who really embraced Kirby Dach, even though he had his share of struggles throughout his first couple of seasons in the NHL with the Blackhawks. Like, I never really thought he got the fair end of the bargain. The Blackhawks didn't do him any fair share in his development. Like, and this really should have been his rookie year, but instead people were kind of comparing him to Trevor Zegras and all this stuff. Like, I just didn't think he got a fair pick in Chicago. So I think it's going to be good for him to have a fresh start in Montreal. But at the end of the day, to get that 13th overall pick, who we ended up taking Frank Nazar with, and then also a third round pick, like, I think that's an optimal return for Kirby Dach. So that was a trade I think Kyle Davidson had to say yes to. I think Frank Nazar has the higher ceiling of Kirby Dach, and we got an extra pick in there. So to me, that was one you just had to say yes to, as tough as it is to see Kirby Dach go. I know all Blackhawks fans don't feel that way, though.
And then adding a goalie later on, your thoughts on that trade?
Yeah, to me, that was kind of just a no-brainer win-win. And there are some fans out there who are saying that the Blackhawks kind of let Kyle Dubas and the Maple Leafs off easy by unleashing that $3.8 million AAV on Peter Mrazek for the next 2 years, considering what Edmonton had to give up to move Zach Cassian. There are some people who were upset that Kyle Davidson and the Blackhawks didn't get more, didn't charge Kyle Dubas more than just 13 spots moving down to unload that contract. But ultimately, Kyle Davidson got what he wanted to, right? He got back into the first round, got that third first round pick, took Sam Renzel, who he was their guy, and they didn't believe he was going to be there at number 38. So it really didn't cost them anything at all to go back up into the first round and get their guy to make sure that, hey, he's still here. Let's go and get him while we know he's available. And look, someone needs to play goaltender for the Blackhawks next season, right? They have a couple prospects who are just starting to step on the scene, one being Arvid Soderblom, who Blackhawks organization is really high on, but they're not trying to rush him in. They don't want him to be the opening night starter come next season, and they needed someone to be in goal next year and just do the job, right? So Peter Mrazek is going to be able to do that for the team now, and to be able to get that and a third first-round pick, me personally, I think it's a free win for the Blackhawks. I get that they might have let Kyle Dubas and the Leafs off easy, but they got what they wanted to, and it cost them literally nothing. So I can't be anything but happy about that deal as well.
And after these three picks and the trades, where do you think this puts the Blackhawks in their rebuilding program?
Yeah, it's going to be a slow, patient approach for this team the next handful of years, right? They're not really focused on wins and losses, certainly for this next season. But they're going to, the biggest thing for Kyle Davidson, I think, is just to get this right. They don't care how many years it's going to take. They understand that they're going to be very patient with this, and they just want to make sure they're properly developing guys, not rushing them onto the scene so fast. Developing and getting high first round picks, that's the name of the game for the Blackhawks at this point. So this just kind of really hits, it should kind of hit home for Blackhawks fans that this is really how it's going to be, right? Alex DeBrincat's gone. Dylan Strome's not expected to be brought back as a restricted free agent. Same with Dominic Kubalik. Patrick Kane's now going to have conversations with the organization and his agent again. So it's kind of just all happening so fast. And the reality is that, hey, listen, it's all about the future. It's all about the 18, 19, 20-year-olds we have now, stacking on as many draft assets as we can get, and hopefully, you know, putting something together that can be special in 4 to 5 years. So it's really just no rush at all, and it's really clear and evident by the moves that they made this weekend.
All right, Jack, why don't you tell our viewers and our listeners where they could find the podcast and where they could find you on social media?
Absolutely. You can find Locked On Blackhawks wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. It's 100% for free, so go and check it out there. As for me myself, you can find me out on Twitter at JackBushman2. And if you want to check out the Locked On Blackhawks Twitter account, you can do so at LO_Blackhawks as well.
All right, Jack, always a pleasure to have you here, and finally to have you here on Better with better news. Thanks again for coming by.
Absolutely. Always a lot of fun, Gil. I'll be talking to you soon, hopefully.
Our next sponsor has a product I literally use every day. I started taking AG1 because I'm not a big pill taker, and I wanted a supplement that actually tastes great. So what is this stuff? Well, with one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging. All these things. And it's lifestyle friendly. Whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free, it contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals or artificial anything, while still tasting great. And it costs less than $3 a day. You're investing your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and a can of water every day, and that's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1 year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NHL Network. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/NHL Network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Hi, everybody. Gil Martin back with you here on the Locked On NHL Podcast Monday edition. Thank you for making Locked On NHL your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. Today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. It's my pleasure to welcome back to the show the co-host of Locked On Predators, Ann Kimmel. And big news on Saturday, especially the Predators re-signing Philip Forsberg to a multi-year extension, keeping him in the Music City. Your thoughts about this deal, the length, the amount of money he's getting, and what it means for the Preds?
Yeah, this was huge for Nashville. We have been on Philip Forsberg watch for what feels like months. And there was a lot of back and forth with this deal. And people were getting concerned that this wasn't going to be something that got done, that Forsberg would test free agency, which would have been a big issue for the Nashville Predators moving forward. To have Philip Forsberg locked up before free agency starts is a huge relief. And I think everyone feels very good about the contract. It is an 8-year contract. worth about $68 million. And I feel like this is a good contract for the Predators, the way that it's structured. But I also feel like it communicates his value to the team, to Philip Forsberg. So all the way around, I think everybody in Nashville is feeling very relieved.
And with Forsberg coming back, what does that mean for the offense, and how can they build around him given the amount of cap space that he is taking up?
Philip Forsberg is so key to this offense. Of course, last season he had his best season. He and Matt Duchene went back and forth for the number of goals scored in a season. Matt Duchene beat him out by one goal, but they both were 40 goal scorers. And I think that's part of the importance of Philip Forsberg. Not only does he generate a tremendous amount of offense and he is a creative playmaker, but he also makes other players on his line better. And he and Matt Duchene really developed a great chemistry over the season. And I believe that part of Matt Duchene's emergence for the Nashville Predators that has been a little rocky since he got here really is due a little bit in part to being put together with Philip Forsberg. So Forsberg staying in Nashville, I think, is a benefit for the Predators, a benefit for Philip Forsberg, but it's also going to, I think, improve the game of some other players on the team. And that's huge for Nashville.
Also, over the weekend in the first round, the Predators drafting 17th overall. They go with a Finnish winger in Joachim Kemmel. Your thoughts about the pick and where he fits into the organization?
This pick was a huge surprise. To be honest with you, it wasn't something that was necessarily on the radar for a lot of us that were kind of looking at pre-draft lists, because nobody believed that Kemmel was going to drop out of the top 10 and be available at 17. So this was a delightful surprise for Nashville Predators fan, and I'm certain for general manager David Poile. And I think it's a fantastic pick. I believe his style of play kind of just automatically meshes well with the style of play that Nashville is looking to build around, a physical style of play, creative, decent size. He's not maybe as tall or as big as David Poile generally likes, but, you know, he's 5'11", and he plays a very physical game. So I think this is a really great get for Nashville. And again, I don't think it was something they anticipated. I think everybody is delighted with this. I can see him really kind of developing a little bit more of his game and being somebody whose shot can be an impact for the Nashville Predators, you know, a couple seasons down the road. So this is a huge, huge draft success for David Poile.
Gotta like the availability at 17. Okay, mm-hmm. So the draft is behind us. Forsberg is back and in the lineup for the next 7-8 years. What are the priorities as we head into free agency, and what do you think that Poile will do going forward in the next few weeks?
Yeah, I think David Poile still has some work cut out for him. Over the weekend, he did trade Luke Cunnan to the San Jose Sharks. Cunnan was a second line winger who really was not able to produce well, and that second line's offensive work really did not show up this past season. So I think you're going to look at David Poile shopping around in free agency for somebody to play on that second line to generate some offense. They also picked up Ryan McDonough for defense, so they've already done a little work there. So I expect that David Poile's going to be looking around for a second line winger who's available at a decent price.
And how much cap space do they have to work with at this point?
Well, signing Philip Forsberg took about $8.5 million in cap space, but there's still plenty to go around. You know, the Predators went into this with a sizable amount of cap space. So it's not that they're going to be, you know, forced to look for somebody bargain basement. They have a little bit of money to spend. And with Forsberg re-signed, with McDonough on defense and the defensive pairings looking a little more shored up this coming season, David Poile may use that cap space and invest in somebody for, you know, 3 to 4 years, because I think he feels like the Predators have developed a window of opportunity. We'll see how accurate that is, but I wouldn't be surprised for David Poile to spend a little money on some offensive power for that second line.
During the regular season, I think the Predators were a pleasant surprise to a lot of people. The goaltending was better, maybe a little faster than people expected. But the playoffs were a little bit of a disappointment. What do they need to do to try to get beyond where they went this season?
The playoff performance of the Predators has sort of been the hitch in the giddy up for the Nashville Predators fans. They just have not been able to get out of that first round, no matter how good the team looked. I think part of that comes down to timing and performance. I think the Predators this past season, they peaked a little bit early after the All-Star game. They just sort of lost some of that mojo. UC Saros a little bit in net, but also I think offensively and defensively, they just struggled down the stretch. So I think part of that is, of course, that mysterious hockey timing. But I also think that there is an element of this where the Predators are really going to have to dig in a little bit. And I like bringing in somebody like Ryan McDonagh, who has been around and has some experience, who has some Stanley Cup experience, because there is a different level that you have to play at to get deeper in the playoffs and especially to win a Stanley Cup. So I don't underestimate how important bringing in someone with that experience is, regardless of his contributions on the ice. I think that's valuable off the ice. And I think they're really going to have to buy in. You saw some of that this past season. I think the team all began pulling in the same direction, which they'd struggled with for a few seasons. I think some more of that, a little bit of growth from players like Phil Tomasino. And this could be the year that the Predators maybe break that first round curse.
All right, we'll see. I love the McDonagh trade. I mean, you're not only getting a steady defenseman, but leadership, former captain and just a guy who's been there and done that, as you alluded to. And why don't you tell our viewers and our listeners where they could find the podcast and where they could find you on social media?
You can find the podcast anywhere that you listen to your favorite podcasts. We are on YouTube. You can find us on Twitter at @LO_Predators. And you can follow me on Twitter at @AnnK_MamaOnIce.
All right. Ann Kimmel, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Thank you.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Locked On NHL podcast. I want to thank my guests, Laura Saba of Locked On Canadiens, Jack Bushman of Locked On Blackhawks, and Ann Kimmel of Locked On Predators for their expert insight today. Have a great day, everybody. Stay safe. Remember, we're here Monday through Friday with all the biggest stories from around the NHL in 30 minutes. Have a great day. Stay safe. And thanks for listening to the Locked On NHL podcast.